This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, the fan and the Pittsburgh Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball and softball showcase presented by Sheetz. Parents and coaches, send an email. All you have to do to youthsports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team. And 93.7 The Fan may make a stop to your field. Details at 93.7thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. And the apparel today will be the Pirates in the visiting uniforms down in Miami against a team that has the smallest payroll in all of baseball. So, Austin Bechtel, let's talk about this lineup real quick before we get back to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. If you're optimistic, what would you say about it? Let's say guys have good years. Is it good enough with what you see today with Pham, Reynolds, Cruz, Bart, McCutchen, Gonzalez, Rodriguez at first, Hayes batting eighth, and IKF?
Well, here's the thing, Bob. Like, my thing about this, when I look at the lineup today, I ultimately think that this is the best lineup that they could have put out there, you know, all things considered. Like, Andy Rodriguez, I think, will be one of their best hitters. It's
really?
Going to come down.
If he's one of their best hitters.
I like him a lot.
I do too, but not as one of their best hitters. I still think Cruz has got to be the guy to carry him.
Well, I'm not saying he's going to be better than Cruz. He's going to be better than Reynolds. But I could see him ultimately as like their fourth guy. When you're talking about like out of nine guys in the lineup, I think he would probably be four, right behind Cruz, Reynolds, and Bart. Maybe even three. Maybe even better than Bart. I think Rodriguez, as a switch hitter, good speed, gap-to-gap power. I mean, obviously it has to translate to the majors. But I'm more concerned about like the Connor Falefas of the world, the Ke'Bryan Hayes of the world, the Tommy Pham's of the world. Like if they get okay production from those guys, because I think our expectations right now are so low for them.
Yeah.
They get decent production. They get the Tommy Pham of 2 years ago. Again, a lot of ifs and buts and candy and nuts. But if they get anything close to what Pham was a couple of years ago with the Diamondbacks going to the World Series.
Yeah, he was big for them.
Yeah, he was.
But he is 37, and there are some concerns there, but listen, right-hand punch, if he and Sawinski can combine to hit 45 home runs as a platoon, that would be a lot. I'd like that.
That's the thing, though. Like, it's going to come down to...
What is Tommy Pham's biggest total of home runs? If you're going to look that up, because I don't remember him being much of that sort of a power hitter.
No, and I mean, he only has 139 total in his career, and the highest number that he hit was 23 back in 2017 with St. Louis.
Right. So if he hits 20 and Sawinski can somehow figure out 25, that's 45 combined, I would take it.
He had 9 last year. He hit 16 in 2013, 17, 15, and 21 the previous season. So he does have some pop.
Yeah. All right. We'll see how it goes today. But they don't need much pop today. Just get a couple of runs, scratch it out. And I got to believe that Paul Skenes is going to have a good game today against the Miami lineup. And that game will be heard later today right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Let's go back to the lines. Austin, who's next?
Here is Brandon in Raleigh. Wants to talk some quarterbacks.
Hello, friends.
What's up, Brandon?
I give you that greeting in honor of our friend Jim Nantz giving us an 11-year notice on leaving the Masters.
Yeah, I've talked to Jim over the years. I knew that was his game plan, and it was just a matter of when he was going to do it. But big for him. He wants to be there for the 100th.
Yeah, absolutely, and he should be. He's great. But I just wanted to call just real quickly. So the reason I like Rodgers this year and this year only is because I think he's the one guy that can come in and Tomlin will let actually take control of the offense, change plays at the line of scrimmage, kind of call his own game, if you will. When Tomlin took over from Cowher, Ben Roethlisberger was already there, right? This organization has not proved that they can draft and develop a quarterback. There's people like Todd McShay talking about Jackson Dart and Jalen Milroe can, you know, if they get right with the right team, teams can fix them and they can develop into the right quarterback. I don't have faith that this organization with this head coach can draft a quarterback and develop him into a franchise quarterback. What are your thoughts?
Well, you have proof to back that up for sure, and that's going to be the challenge. So far, their quarterbacks since have gone 0-5 in terms of, you know, producing and developing. Now, I think what you're saying with Rodgers is going to be interesting. I think that had to be brought up in their six-hour meeting. You know, how much control do I have of this, and are you going to stand in the way or whatever? I'm a four-time MVP. If he is, he should be given leeway to do what he wants because he's been in that situation. So I think that could be a problem with Arthur Smith and Rodgers if Arthur Smith has a different idea. It's not like Aaron Rodgers is bringing in his own offensive coordinator, which he has done before. This is a different situation. So, but yeah, if you're going to draft somebody and they're going to have to do it at some point this year, next year, maybe both years. Thanks for the call, Brandon. I think you're going to see. The question is, how do they develop him? How quickly can they play? If you are next year, for example, I don't think it'll happen this year because I think the three guys we're talking about are going to be gone by the time Pirate or the Steelers are on the board. So, unless you trade up, and I don't have enough assets right now to do that, you'll probably take somebody mid-round, but next year will be the time to do it. And if they do, it has to be somebody who is going to quickly develop and become their guy. If not, they're going to be, you know, kind of searching every year for these answers. All right, let's go to another one. Austin, next up on the hotline is
Rob in Turtle Creek.
Or Crick. Do you like Creek or Crick,
I
Rob?
I call it Turtle Creek.
What do you call it, Rob? I call it both.
Turtle Creek.
Creek. I gotcha.
Hey, good afternoon, Bob. First off, I was hoping to get to talk to you, both you and Jim, because I think you two are the A-team in Pittsburgh sports broadcasting. Talk radio.
Well, it's kind of you to say. Jim sets a big standard over the years. Joe does a great job. I think we have a lot of very talented people here in this city, too, so, and in the station specifically.
Well, you know what? I go back pretty far. I'm just a few years younger than you, I think, but you know, I go back to the Stan Saverin, Myron Cope. I can't remember who else was part of that lineup in the evening, but it was fantastic.
Well, yeah, they had, you know, John Steiger was part of that in Channel 4, if you're talking about that. And, you know, they've had, yeah, a lot of good. And Stan, man, I miss Stan a lot. Stan was always somebody that you can talk to about anything sports-related or life-related.
And he, like you, he let people have their say. He didn't cut them off. He didn't bloviate. He did bloviate sometimes, but that was say it, Stan. If he disagreed with somebody and they were a real jerk, he let them know.
But what's on your mind today, Rob?
Yeah, I'm calling about the home opener in Pittsburgh. Okay, I'm going next Friday, and I'm just wondering if anybody has any idea what the pitching lineup's going to be coming into that. I was hoping they were going to arrange it, and it would have been smart on their part to somehow arrange it so that Skenes was a starter. But then I heard somebody else say, hey, you're going to get a large crowd on opening day no matter what. As a matter of fact, I could only get standing room tickets. And then they would start Skenes on Saturday, so they would get the giant crowd.
Yeah, I don't know if Skenes is going to pitch at all. He may pitch Sunday in that series. If he does, you know, he's going to be in the Tampa series as well. So It depends. They do have a day off on Thursday before they come home, so he could be, I don't think, Friday. Friday looks like a Bailey Falter day. Is that what it looks like to you?
Yeah, it's looking like Falter for the home opener unless they move the schedule around a little bit, but how they've lined it up currently. And I think a big part of this is also Jared Jones' injury making a huge effect on what the rotation's going to look like. But, Bob, the way that it's kind of tracking out to look like right now, it's looking like the Yankee series is going to be, you ready for this? Falter, Heaney, Majinski.
Well, I hope that's not the case, but I know they have the Cardinals after that, and Skeens would open up that series then. So, you know, you never know how this goes, Rob. And if you're trying to buy tickets, it's going to be a sellout crowd anyway. So enjoy the day. It'll be a good day.
Hey, by the way, you know, I don't know. I always think of you on a day like today because it is absolutely glorious out. And I got to tell you, I'm a 50-80 guy. What I mean by that is as long as it's between 50 and 80 and the skies are like this today, I'm good, brother.
Yeah, I'm a 40-90 guy. I'll go even further in those extremes. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Enjoy your day if you're out there hitting them. All right, let's move along. Who do we got?
Let's go.
Austin, who's next?
Art. Art is in Connecticut, and he wants to talk about the Pirates lineup.
All right, Art. Go right ahead. What do you think?
Hi, guys. I couldn't disagree more with Austin on the lineup today.
Okay. Why is that, Art?
I think the issue is, why are Sawinski and Bay not in the lineup? Two left-handers against one of the toughest right-handed pitchers in baseball.
I would agree with that in Pham's case. I would have figured this lineup up, but and I don't know about Bay. Bay, I know he's had a pretty decent spring, and he does offer you leadoff potential. You could have put him there and then drop Sawinski down after McCutchen, I suppose. But that is interesting. Pham, I was surprised. Tommy Pham was the guy they brought in. They spent the money on. He's a veteran. He was going to get that probably designation regardless of who was on the mound, but I understand the logic behind that.
Let me ask you this, Art. Who do you think's a better hitter, Key Brian Hayes or Ji-Won Bae?
Right now, I think it's Ji-Won Bae.
Do you think Tommy Pham is a better hitter than Ji-Won Bae, or do you think Bae is a better hitter?
It's got to be the matchup, Austin. It's a right-handed pitcher on the mound. Bae can get on base from that side of the plate. He can make things happen. You know, I think Tommy Pham, I'm penciling him in for 3 Ks today.
Well, certainly Sandy Alcantara's got his game back together. He was out all of last year. When he's on, he's very good. We'll see how that works out, but that's a legitimate argument.
One more
I think.
Thing, guys. I'm heading down there for games 2, 3, and 4. My son and I were going down to Miami to see him. So we'll miss Paul, but we'll miss Jarrett, but it should be fun.
Well, all right. Have a good time down there. I appreciate it. It's a long trek from Connecticut.
Well, yeah, I hope you're flying down. Here's my thing. Like, why are we going out of our way to make arguments for Ji-Won Bae where he hit 189 last year?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm more interested in Sawinski for Pham only because it's a ready. And I think Tommy Pham likes Sawinski. They both can strike out a lot. They both have that tendency. So the matchup lefty-righty, which a lot of managers like to live on, could be the reason why he has a problem with his lineup, and I can understand that as far as Pham specific.
I don't even know why Bae made the roster, Bob. Like,
I would not have had him on the roster.
No, I mean, even if it was like a Matt Gorski, or if you keep Henry Davis and you make him the backup catcher and you shift Endy around, like, if you're going to play Endy at first base and you're going to use his versatility, why not play him in the outfield a little bit too, where he has experience in the minors? Why not just let him be a guy who can frequently bounce around, because I think he could be a good hitter for them, play some first, play some left, give Reynolds a day if he ends up like DHing and playing right for a game. He's athletic enough, and he's played some of those positions to be able to do it in the minor leagues, and then have Henry Davis still be able to be on the major league roster. I don't get that.
I'm still going to be interested to see how Brian Reynolds handles right field. He was in center for the longest time. They moved to left. I think he led the major league outfielders in assists. Now he's in right field. And when Derek Shelton comes back, I'd like to just get into his mind a little bit about that move. Anyway, let's take another call here. This time we're going out of state again, aren't we?
You're going to Corey in Columbus.
Hey, Corey.
I'm with the Buckeyes.
Yes, and the Blue Jackets, who are getting close to a playoff berth potentially. What's up?
Hey, you guys. I was trying to think of a way the Pirates could actually get to a World Series with the rules that they are. You know, baseball won't do a salary cap. They don't care. Nutting, the last thing he thinks about is winning. So did anybody ever think about one of two ways? Split up the league. In the American League, you have the 15 highest paid teams are the 15 biggest markets, right? And then the National League, you put in the 15 lowest markets or 15 lowest paid payrolls. And that way, you know, any team could win. You know, that team that would win the small market to go to the World Series, they can beat any big market in a seven-game series. You know what I mean? Because they're going to be a pretty good team. But I don't know if anybody ever, if they ever would ever think about doing something like that, because that's the only way the Pirates can compete if they're against all these other small market teams.
I don't foresee that happening, Corey, but I understand the thought, because I think in college football we're going to be seeing more of that, where teams deciding to move out of Division I and move into a different. You may have Power 4 conferences and then another one devoted to teams that aren't. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. What I would tell you is the biggest thing going on right now with the Pirates is that they have to develop players more. They have to have many more options from their minor league system, and they haven't been able to do it despite picking in the top 10 of the draft. How many years have we seen that? Whether it's 1-1, whether it's, you know, top 5, 10, they've had a lot of guys over the years, and they haven't gotten the kind of results they need.
And don't forget about the first-round picks that didn't work in, like, the middle rounds, the Cole Tuckers, the Will Craigs, and the Kevin Newmans of the world where they
didn't
hit. And
those are all first-round picks, right?